Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. Again, thanking you for this Sabbath day and the opportunity to come before you again. We ask, Father, that you would be with your servants and that you would bless us, that you would open our hearts to receive your implanted words, and open our minds, Father, that we would be able to see within your law and the messages that you have for us this day. We ask, Father, that you would bless us as we seek to do that which is right in your sight, as we try to overcome this world and Satan the devil, Father, by following in the footsteps of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We thank you for his great sacrifice, and help us, Father, that we would not tread underfoot the blood of Yahshua, but that we would be faithful in all things. Again, Father, we thank you for the redemption. We thank you for Yahshua's great and selfless sacrifice, that he would give us sinners, Father, those that have sinned against you, an opportunity at life everlasting. So help us, Father, as you have lifted us up from the dregs of this world and placed us on high. Help us to walk in your footsteps and do that which is right in your sight, that we might be good examples to the people around us, that they would give glory to your holy name and praise you. And we thank and ask all these favors and blessings in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Almighty Yahweh has shown us mercy, brethren. He has given us a choice that we didn't have before. If we choose Yahshua, we receive mercy and forgiveness for our sins, and we get a clean slate. And that's important for us to understand. You get a clean slate. You can start all over again. It doesn't matter what you've done. It is made clean. David in the Old Testament and Paul in the New Testament were both murderers and both received mercy and forgiveness. Are you better or worse than any other? Step forward in faith and receive a cleansing from on high that only Yahshua's blood can give. Let us take our eyes off of self and others and focus on Yahshua the Messiah. I've entitled this message, Freedom from Sin. That's freedom from sin. What does it mean to be the Messiah? Turn to Psalm 118. We'll start in verse 14. That's Psalm 118, verse 14. Yah is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of Yah. Yah has chastened me grievously, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will enter into them. I will give thanks to Yah. This is the gate of Yahweh. The righteous shall enter into it. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. We know the name of Yahshua means Yahweh is salvation. So Yahweh has given us salvation through the Messiah. As we continue on, it says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. And we know those builders were the leaders, the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jewish people. This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, we plead you, O Yahweh. O Yahweh, we plead you, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that comes in the name of Yahweh. And Yahshua came in the name of Yahweh. When he entered Jerusalem during that Passover season when he was impaled, when his blood was shed for our sins. He came in riding on the foal of an ass. And they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be he that comes in the name of Yahweh. And remember, brethren, at that time, it was not legal to use Yahweh's name. So these people were violating the laws that were placed on them by the religious leadership, saying that they could not use that name. But Yahshua came riding in on the foal of an ass, and they said, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. Yahweh is El, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. You are my El, and I will give thanks to you. You are my Elohim, I will exalt you. O give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Isaiah chapter 60. Freedom from sin, brethren. That's what Yahweh is doing for us today. That's Isaiah 60. And we'll look at verse 16b. That's Isaiah 60:16b. The second part of 16. It says, I, Yahweh, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Yaakov. Or Jacob, which is, and his name was changed to Israel. So Jacob and Israel are synonymous. The Jews believe that Abib, they call it Nisan, is the month of redemption because they were released from Egyptian bondage. Egypt is synonymous with sin. We have been released from sin, brethren, those who have accepted Yahshua's shed blood, as the Israelites were spared from the death angel by the blood of on the doorpost. Exodus 12. That's Exodus 12, and we'll look at verses 5 through. Well, actually, now drop down to the beginning, Exodus 12. We'll start in verse 1. It says, and Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be to you for the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to themselves every man a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too little for a lamb, then shall he and his neighbor next to his house take one according to the number of the souls, according to every man's eating. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at evening, and they shall take of the blood and put it on the two side posts and on the lintel upon the houses in which they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, and roast with fire and unleavened bread. With bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled with water, but roast with fire, its head and its legs with the innards of it. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning, but that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes by your feet, and your staff by your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. Whose Passover is it? It's Yahweh's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt in that night and will kill all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the Elohim of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am Yahweh, and the blood shall be to you for a token on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall no plague be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And this day shall be for you to remember. And you shall celebrate this feast to Yahweh throughout your generations, an everlasting ordinance. You shall celebrate it. So that means that we're going to keep doing this. It's not something that we're going to stop doing. I spoke to an ex-member of the Assembly of Yahweh. I just said AOY but in my notes. And she said that she doesn't keep the feast anymore. I told her I was sorry to hear that, because she allowed Satan to gain the victory over her, because the assembly, was successful in driving her from the faith. So I encourage her to go to our website and to read the article on spiritual abuse. And I invited her to join us for the Sabbath service. I did get an email back from her saying that she wasn't interested in religion anymore, organized religion. And I've heard that from several people, okay, that have left that organization. But, you know, it's sad that they have allowed Satan to take their joy away. They've allowed Satan to take the spirit away. In Leviticus chapter 19, if you turn with me there, we'll read verses 1 to 4. Leviticus 19, 1 to 4. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. Every man of you shall fear his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. That term is Sabbaths. It's plural. It's not just a weekly Sabbath. It's talking about the feast days as well. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Turn not to idols. Because when you turn away from Yahweh, that's what you end up doing. You turn to idols. Nor make to yourself molten Elohim. I am Yahweh. Ani Yahweh. He stamps his name on it. Ani Yahweh. I am Yahweh. As I said, you know, this... really kind of set me back, because I expected her to at least, you know, think about what I said. But what happens is that when people's heart become hardened, you know, they kind of lose that love for Almighty Yahweh. And it's really sad, because they've allowed the people that were supposed to be teaching them and loving them to drive them away. And I don't understand or think they know what they're doing, because, you know, it's sad. And that's why the greater condemnation is placed on leadership, because if you take one of Yahweh's lambs, and you drive them away, that blood is going to be on your hands. Is your love conditional, brethren? Yahshua died for all, so his love is unconditional. Romans chapter 3. Turn to Romans chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 21. But now, apart from the law of righteousness of Yahweh has been manifested. Now, I have over top of that law oral, because when you read the scriptures, you have to understand the context of what's going on there. I'm not adding to the word. I want you to understand that there were several types of laws being dealt with during this time in Rome. Now, you had the Jews who were projecting the traditions of the elders, or the Talmud, the oral law. You also had the Mosaic law, the Tetragrammaton. I mean, you know, the Tetragrammaton is Yahweh's name, but the Pentateuch, the first five books, which was the Torah. And that's called the law. You had the sacrificial law. You had several, that's three different types of law that is dealt with in the scriptures. You have to understand right now when they're speaking of a certain type of law, okay, And that's why, like I said, I put in my notes. But now, apart from the, I have oral law here, but I'm saying law, a righteousness of Yahweh has been manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of Yahweh through faith in Yahshua the Messiah to all them that believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Yahweh. So there's no perfect individual, including the rabbis, the leaders of Israel. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Messiah Yahshua. And as I said again, we're in that first month. And New Moon, we talked about this. The first month is known as the redemption month because Yahweh took them out of Israel, out of Egypt, whom Yahweh set forth to be a propitiation, an atonement, through faith in his blood. Whose blood? Yahshua's blood. To show his righteousness because of the passing over of the sins formerly committed in the forbearance of Yahweh. For the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and the justifier of him that has faith in Yahshua. And that's us, brethren. We're supposed to have faith in Yahshua. Because we've been given freedom from sin through his shed blood. Where, then, is the glory in? It is excluded. By what manner of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is Yahweh the Elohim of the Jews only? No. Is he not the Elohim of the Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. If so be that Yahweh is one, and he shall justify the circumcision by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith. Now, when I use those terms, and I talk about this in the scriptures a lot, the term circumcision speaks of Jews. Uncircumcision speaks of Gentiles, when they're used, as a adjective. Do we then make the law of no effect through faith? By no means. We establish the law. Yahweh's law and love is for all who are willing to submit. And that's the key, brethren, submission. Brethren, that's the real problem. Submission. No one is willing to submit to those in power. Yahweh and Yahshua are the ones in power. They want to do it their way. You've heard the song, I've got to do it my way, as the famous song goes. If we are to receive mercy from on high, we must humble ourselves, brethren, and ask for his mercy, because all our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what our righteousness is, filthy rags. How does his sacrifice cleanse us? Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 11. And as he held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered to the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this man? Or why fasten your eyes on us as though by our own power, or righteousness we had made him to walk? The Elohim of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, has glorified his servant Yahshua, whom you delivered up and denied before the face of Pilate, when he had determined to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. and by faith in his name has his name made this man strong, whom you behold and know. Yes, the faith which is through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that in ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But the things which Yahweh foreshowed by the mouth of all the prophets, that the Messiah should suffer, Isaiah 53, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so that you might have freedom from sin, so that there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of Yahweh, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Yahshua, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, of which Yahweh spoke by mouth of his holy, by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old. Moses indeed said, a prophet shall Yahweh Elohim raise up to you from among your brethren, like to me. To him shall you listen in all things, whatever he shall speak to you. And that's from Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 19. And it shall be that every soul that shall not listen to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and them that followed after, as many as have spoken, they also told of these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which Yahweh made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's why we say, pray, and that's why we say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because in Abraham's seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. To you, first Yahweh, having raised up his servant, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. And that's what Yahshua's purpose was, to turn you from your sin to a living Elohim. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we'll start at verse 1. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with Yahweh through our Master Yahshua the Messiah, through whom also we have our access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of Yahweh, and not only so, but we rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation works endurance, and endurance approval, and approval hope. And hope does not put to shame, because the love of Yahweh has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. For while we were yet weak, in due season the Messiah died for the lawless. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, for possibly for the good man someone would even dare to die. But Yahweh commends his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, brethren, the Messiah died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of Elohim through him. We're going to be saved through Yahshua's blood. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yahweh through the death of his son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in Yahweh through our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We've been redeemed, brethren, by the blood of the Lamb. That's something we need to keep in mind. We have to think about what's going on, you know, in our daily life, because Satan wants us to constantly be pulled away. He wants us to fail. But guess what? If we accept the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, we have freedom from sin. We're not going to fail. We're going to overcome this world and Satan the devil. Because anything he puts on us, we can just, you know, roll it right off. We can, you know, walk away. As Al said earlier, we can't allow things to just, you know, get us upset or you know, regardless of whether it's a big thing or a little thing. We have to understand that Yahweh has given us, through his Holy Spirit, the ability to deal with the things that are coming down the pipe, the things that are coming upon our lives. You know, we know that we're going to be afflicted. I mean, it says that in Psalms 34, I believe, about many are the afflictions of the righteous, and Yahweh will deliver us out of them all. Continuing on in verse 12, it says, therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and that's through Adam, and death through sin. And so death passed to all men, for that all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned over Adam until Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgressions, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the trespass, so also is the free gift. For if by the trespass of the one the many die, much more did the grace of Yahweh and the gift by the grace of the one man, Yahshua the Messiah, abound to many. And not as through one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment came of one to condemnation, but the free gift came to many trespasses to justification. For if by the trespass of the one death reigned through the one, much more shall they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one, even Yahshua the Messiah. So then as through one trespass, the judgment came to all men to condemnation through Adam's sin. Even so, through one act of righteousness, the free gift came to all men to justification of life. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. And we know that was Adam. Even so, through the obedience of the one shall many be made righteous, and that's through Yahshua the Messiah. And the law came, and besides, that the trespass might abound, but where sin increased, grace increased more greatly, that as sin reigned in death, even so might grace reign through righteousness to eternal life through Yahshua the Messiah, our Master. Now we have to understand, brethren, that Yahweh set this up. You know, he cares for us. He gave us a way out. He gave us freedom from sin through Yahshua the Messiah. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 15. Excuse me a second. I got to drink a little water. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law or the penalty of the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that whom you present yourselves as servants to obedience, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether sin to death or obedience to righteousness? But thanks be to Elohim that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were delivered, and being made free from sin. And brethren, we have to accept that grace that Yahweh has given us. You became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification. And sanctification means set apart for a holy purpose. For when you were servants of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. What fruit did you have at that time in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And that's the end of sin, brethren. Death is the reward for those that want to sin. But now being made free from sin and having become servants to Yahweh, you have your fruits to sanctification and the end, eternal life. And we know, verse 23, by heart, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life in the Messiah, Yahshua, our Master. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then the saying shall come to pass that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, brethren. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim who gives us the victory through our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor is not in vain in Yahweh. Yahweh makes a distinction between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. And the key passage here, brethren, is that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. You understand? Now, a lot of people have problems with that because they understand when they talk about the thousand-year millennium that they're going to be human beings living. It's that, and there is a distinction between the thousand-year millennium and the kingdom of Yahweh. The kingdom of Yahweh will have no human beings. The thousand-year millennium will have humans. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, we're going to start in verse 7. It says, and when the 1,000 years are finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall come forth to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the war, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up over the width of the earth and encircled the camp of the saints about the beloved city. And fire came down from Yahweh out of heaven and devoured them, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and was destroyed, in which are also the beast and the false prophet. And they shall be, the word is basanos, it's judged or judgment. They should receive judgment day and night for the ages of ages. That means they're being destroyed. It's forever. It's not a constant burning, which is that falsehood from Dante's Inferno. Now, here's a separation. And it says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and the grave gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. So if they had went to heaven after they died, what would be the purpose of having this judgment? They would have already been there. But no man has ascended to heaven, brethren, except the one that came down, and that was Joshua. And death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Even the lake of fire. And if any was not found in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Now we're going to continue in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 8. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were gone, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he shall tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people. And Yahweh himself shall be with them, and be their Elohim, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. See, during the 1,000-year millennium, there was still death, but no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first things are passed away. And he that sits on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he says, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, they have come to pass. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is thirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his El, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In other words, they would be destroyed. What must we do, brethren? That's the question. What must we do? First thing we got to do is accept the blood sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. That's 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 13. Therefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, as children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in your ignorance, but like as he who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all manner of living, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who, without respect of persons, judges according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you were redeemed, brethren. And this is the month of redemption. Abid, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life, this earthly life handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of the Messiah, who was foreknown, indeed, before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of the times for your sake, who through him are believers in Yahweh, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in Elohim. This is why Yahshua had to die, so that our faith would be in Elohim and our hope seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, to the unfeigned, unpretended love of the brethren. Love one another from the heart fervently, having begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of Yahweh, which lives and endures. That's what we have to do, brethren. And the second step of that process is to be reunited with Almighty Yahweh. And we'll go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 13. It says, "Be subject to every ordinance of man for Yahweh's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as set by him for vengeance on evildoers and for praise to them that do well. For so is the will of Yahweh, that by well-doing you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free and not using your freedom for a cloak of maliciousness, but as bondservants of Yahweh, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, and honor the king." And our king is Yahshua the Messiah. But this is even talking about the political people who are over us. "Servants, be in subjection to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the forward, even those that are evil. For this is acceptable, if for conscience toward Yahweh a man endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you sin you are buffeted? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer, you shall take it patiently as well. This is acceptable with Yahweh. For to this were you called, because the Messiah also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Yahweh has given us freedom from sin, brethren, through Yahshua the Messiah. 1 Peter chapter 3. Says, "Finally, be you all like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrariwise a blessing. For to this were you called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of Yahweh are upon the righteous, and his ears to their supplication. But the face of Yahweh is upon them that do evil." And we have to understand that, brethren. Yahweh knows whether we do good or evil. He sees all. Verse 13. "And who is he that will harm you if you be zealous of that which is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Fear not their fear, neither be troubled, but sanctify in your hearts the Messiah as sovereign, ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is within you. Yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that it, what you are spoken against, they might be put to shame that revile your good manner of life in the Messiah. For it is better if the will of Yahweh should so will that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing, because the Messiah also suffered for sins once, and the righteousness for the unrighteous." And that's what he did for us, brethren. that he might bring us to Yahweh. That was his purpose, to cleanse the people, to bring us to Yahweh, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, that before the time, that time were disobedient, when the long suffering of Yahweh waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water, which also after a true likeness does now save you, even baptism. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward Yahweh through the resurrection of Yahshua the Messiah, who is on the right hand of Yahweh, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. So if angels and authorities and powers are subject to him, should not we be subject or in submission to Yahshua? The third thing after accepting the blood sacrifice of Yahshua and being reunited with Almighty Yahweh, we have to do not tread the blood of Yahshua underfoot. And that's Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the doctrine of the first principles of the Messiah, let us press on to perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward Yahweh, of the teachings of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we do, this will we do, if Yahweh permit. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of Yahweh and the powers of the age to come and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they impaled to themselves the Son of Yahweh again and put him to an open shame. For the land was drunk in the rain that comes often upon it and brings forth herbs useful for them, for whose sake it is also tilled, receives blessings from Yahweh. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is rejected and near to a curse, whose end is to be burned. Now, this is talking about the unpardonable sin. Now, that lady I was talking about earlier, who's rejected religion because of what she went through, I don't think this would apply to her, for the simple fact that I'm praying that Yahweh would touch her and cause her to come back to him. Okay? Because, you know, a lot of people have been pushed away and have been taken advantage of by people who were supposed to be looking out for their spiritual welfare. We must be like Peter, who walked on the water and healed the sick with his handkerchiefs. He denied Yahshua 3 times, yet overcame his sins. He led the flock of Yahweh until he had to flee from Jerusalem. He was corrected by Paul, but he repented like David. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, the elders, verse 1, therefore among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of all of the sufferings of the Messiah, who am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, tend the flock of Yahweh, which is among you, exercising the supervision, not of constraint, but willingly according to the will of Yahweh, nor yet for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as despots over the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall be manifested, you shall receive the crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, be subject to the elder. Yes, all of you gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. For Yahweh resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's one of the things we do before Passover. We have to look at our lives, brethren. We have to understand that we're not looking at one another. We're looking in the mirror. We're looking at ourselves. We're looking at Yahshua because he did no sin. So we can't compare ourselves one to another, but we have to compare ourselves to Yahshua and see that we all fall short. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yahweh, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you, brethren. He cares for each and every one of us. Be sober. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. And the Elohim of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in the Messiah, after that you have suffered a little while, shall himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I account him, I have written to you briefly exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of Yahweh. Stand fast in it. She that is in Babylon, elect together with you, salute you, and so does Mark, my son. Salute one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you all that are in the Messiah. And brethren, we're still in Babylon this day. But you know what? Yahweh has given us freedom from sin. He's overcome the world. And so we can overcome as well. For our final scripture, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. That's Galatians 5. We're going to start in verse 1. For freedom the Messiah set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage, which is sin, brethren. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, the Messiah will profit you nothing. Yes, I testify again to every man that received the circumcision, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. And I have my notes there, the oral law. You are severed from the Messiah, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, wait for the hope of righteousness. For in the Messiah, Yahshua, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. And that's the key element, brethren, love. You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion came not from him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence toward you and Yahweh that you will not otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Now, Paul used to be of the circumcision, and that's why when I say that word, it's talking about a Jewish movement. It's something different than the apostolic movement. Why am I still persecuted? Then has the stumbling block of the torture stake been done away with? I would that they that unsettle you would even go beyond circumcision. For you, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Yahweh has given us freedom from sin, brethren. We must use that freedom for good and not evil. We cannot tread upon the shed blood of our Savior. The love that has been shown to us, let us share it with the whole world. I pray Almighty Yahweh will bless each one and everyone who seeks Him now. Enjoy your freedom, brethren, and may Almighty Yahweh bless you. At this time, I'd like to ask James Sturm if he would close with a word of prayer.
James Sturm's not on.
All right. Well, I will ask you to do it, sir.
All right. Heavenly Father, we come before you on this Sabbath day, and we ask your blessings upon us. We thank you for the opportunity that we can gather together to hear your word proclaimed. Father, we know that this sin is something that is always before us. It is a battle that we are always fighting against, the sin and the allurements of the world and the weaknesses of the flesh. We thank you for the sacrifice that Yeshua made, that we might overcome this weakness of the flesh, that we can overcome this sin, that we can come before you as blameless and as unreprovable in your sight. Only because of what Yeshua has done. We strive to do our best, Father. We strive to do our best to be obedient to you and to be pleasing to you, but we know that our righteousness is as filthy rags when we compare it to you and to your righteousness, to the righteousness of Yeshua. We pray that you fill us with your Spirit, give us a greater portion of your Holy Spirit, Father, that we can have the fruits of the Spirit manifest in our lives. We need to be living epistles to this world, and it's hard for us to do that when we know that we're so messed up. We know that you can use us, that you're willing and ready to use us, so we pray that you would send us. We know that we have a work to do, that this ministry was formed by you for a reason, for a purpose, and we're there. We're there for the people that are seeking the truth. We pray that you would lead them to Yahweh's Philadelphia Truth Congregation. We know that we're not the only ones proclaiming the truth. For there is a great body of the Messiah in the world. But we are part of that, and so we pray that you would use us also. Give you thanks and praise for this Sabbath day. We give you thanks and praise for the songs that we heard today and the songs we were able to sing. Pray you can continue to watch over us this next week and get us safely to another Sabbath. Help us to be ready for Passover. It's coming up quickly. We know that it is a renewal of our covenant with you. Help us to be mindful that we are renewing. It's almost like renewing our wedding vows. It's husband and wife. You are the husband, we are the wife, the bride is the Messiah. So we know that we are to renew our vows. Pray that you would help us to be ready. Give you thanks for answering the prayers of those that are on the prayer list. We know that those people have serious needs. We don't know what all the needs are, but we know that you know, and so that's why we lift them up to you, that you can be Yahweh Rapha and Yahweh Yireh and provide the healing they need. It's in Yeshua's name we ask these petitions. Give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor for the blessings you shower upon us each and every day. In Yeshua's name, as we say, hallelujah and amen.
Hallelujah.